Peter. Good morning. Are you finished? Are you settled down? Good to see everyone. Great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. It's good to be together with your church family, and what a great way to start the day. Here we are in the Lord's house. Sandra, over to you. Thank you.
Good morning. The announcements this morning are on the back of the bulletin. Our ladies' Bible study is Thursday mornings at 10 a.m., and we're studying the book of Acts. See Sandy Reed if you want to join us. Next Sunday for Remembrance Day, our worship service will be at 9 a.m. at the church. And following this at 10:30, there'll be a ceremony at the community hall. The Christmas child shoeboxes will be packed on November 8th. And we're focusing on boys ages 10 to 14, since these are the hardest to supply for. And there's useful items suggested on the bulletin board out front. Ladies who have signed up for the girls' night out on November 7th, your tickets are here with Sandy Reed this morning. So make sure you get your ticket. And now the elders' meeting, I don't believe, is on the 10th. I think it's on the 17th. So we'll discuss that amongst our elders. I'll ask Marge McKinnon, to come up and just speak about the nativity scenes.
Good morning. Looking at the calendar this morning, I see we only have 3 Sundays left before we do our nativity display. So for those of you that aren't familiar with it, this is the part that our church takes in the Cremona Winterfest the first Saturday of every December. And we make a display of nativity scenes that people have brought from home. So we're asking for your help again this year. Last year we had over 150 different sets, and they're very interesting, of from different places and made of different things. And so if you're able to contribute again, please have them here before the last Sunday so we can get them all set up and ready for the first Saturday. And then you take them home again the Sunday following the show on the Saturday. So you'll have them home for your own Christmas. And this year we want to do one thing different. We're asking the children to draw, paint, color, whatever you want, the picture of way they depict the nativity, the scene looked that Christmas Eve. So they can start just on an ordinary 9x12 sheet of paper so we can display them and put their name and their age, and hopefully we get lots of different interpretations. So everybody, if you can, please help us out and bring your nativity sets. Thanks.
Thanks, Marge. Are there any other announcements this morning? Thank you.
You will find that there are 2 new tubs have appeared out in the foyer there. The tub that we had before there was to collect stuff for the Operation Christmas Child, for the shoeboxes. But the 2 that are out there now, one of them is for our annual drive, if you like, for the mustard seed, to provide them with gloves, hats, toques, woolen scarves, all new. So if you would like to help to keep the mustard seed guests warm this Christmas, there'll be a tub out there from now on. Please bring them in and put them in that tub. And the other tub that you will find there is to help towards the Christmas hampers. The Christmas hampers, which is coordinated here in our church basement, but is a community effort. And if you would like to help to contribute any non-perishable food items for that effort, that's what the other tub is for. Please bring anything in there and put it in that tub as well. And that would be all gratefully received. Just one other thing on Operation Christmas Child, while it enters my mind. The children's address that you see in the bulletin is not going to happen. We're going to have another one of the videos from the DVD from Samaritan's Purse, which is showing you the reaction of some of the children in some very remote parts of the world, their reaction to receiving their boxes, their shoe boxes at Christmas time, or as a result of Christmas time. So that would be happening at children's time. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In St. Mark chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." We worship the Lord with our approach choruses. Now I'd ask Howard and the boys to come on up here and lead us in our choruses. Thank you.
If you'd like to stand and join us, this morning we're going to start out with Ancient of Days, so it's a little bit more, get you going. Continue this morning with "Come, Let Us Worship and Bow Down." our hearts for worship with This Is the Day.
Big thank you to our gentlemen for leading us in our approach choruses. They will be back to present special music for us a little later in the worship service. Shall we bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, how good it is to come together in your house on this your day. What a great feeling we have, Lord, as we walk through the doors of this holy sanctuary, to be greeted by the holy presence of your Spirit here with us. Your Spirit, Lord, shining from the faces of all of our friends whom we gather with to worship you this day. Lord, what a blessing, and we thank you. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you shower down upon us in our lives. And this is the greatest of all, Lord, that you are our Father, you are our God, and you call us here on this day, your day, to worship you. And so we pray, gracious Father, at the onset of our worship service today, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, for we know, Lord, that you have something to say to each and every one of us. May we be receptive, Lord. May we hear your voice, no matter how your voice is revealed to us. Bless us as we worship, Lord. We worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And you're back over to Sandra now for the Old Testament. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Ruth 1, verses 1 to 19. Naomi loses her husband and sons. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to our people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" Please join me now for our responsive reading from Psalm number 146. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live." Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever.
He upholds the cause of the oppressed, and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Sandra deserves a rest after that great big long reading that she did for us there. Thank you, Sandra. We appreciate it. And now it's a joy to invite the men's group back up here to lead our worship with special music. Thank you.
This is probably the closest you'll get to the three tenors in Cremona. Hallelujah.
So what do you think of our three tenors? Pretty good, eh? Thanks, guys. That was excellent. And you know, once again, how God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. You'll never realize, those guys have got no idea what I was preaching about today, and what you just sang fits perfectly. Well done, good choice, and good singing. We appreciate it. I'm playing for time here. How are we doing?
Good.
Are we doing good? Excellent. During the course of the offertory this morning, Caleb has brought his assistant with him, and he's going to present special music for us. What's it called?
As the Deer.
As the Deer, I think we know that one. And so your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received, and we will be presented with As the Deer from Caleb and Sandra. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your grace and for your joy and your blessings that you bestow upon us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. We pray, Lord, that you will take these gifts. We pray, Lord, that you will take the givers. And we know that all of them, Lord, are inadequate for the joy that you give to us. But we know, Lord, that you will take them, that you will use each and every one of them for the extension of your kingdom here on earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Caleb. Good job. We can see the progress he's making each time he comes up here. Well done. You did pretty good as well, Sandra. Thank you. Operation Christmas Child. This great shoebox movement is such an exciting thing, and it's growing every year. And it reaches out, it takes the gospel of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it spreads and reaches out all over the world. And it touches the lives of people who would otherwise maybe not know anything about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for them. And the one that we're going to have a look at today is called Joy in Mongolia. Joy in Mongolia. And we can see how the simple gifts of little things in the shoeboxes, how they reach out right across the world, even to a place called Mongolia. So we'll have a look at this, and we'll have a little bit more appreciation of just what you are doing and the part that you are playing in putting together your shoeboxes. Can we... Well, you want these out of the way? This is highly technical for me to be doing. So if you can't see the screen, manoeuvre around so you can. Thank you, Grant.
Mongolia has an incredibly diverse history. They've endured the rise and fall of communism, and they've been influenced by ancient religions. Through Operation Christmas Child, we're bringing the gospel to Mongolia, a gospel of peace, of love, of a relationship with our Savior, of a relationship with God. During communist times, religion was forbidden, so you started seeing some small house churches and some small churches begin to grow. This is an incredibly new movement.
Shamans, like spirit worshippers, they actually know the spirit of Christianity. They know that it's a different spirit and it's greater than their spirit. And therefore, they're really against it because more and more people coming to Christ. And Operation Christmas Child is really part of the growth of Christianity in Mongolia.
Operation Christmas Child is very important to us because Mongolia is a developing country. Many parents cannot provide daily food to their children. So when we distribute shoeboxes, the shoeboxes brings joy to the families.
I am very thankful to Father God and the teachers for giving this gift. There were so many nice things in my box. For example, I loved this teddy bear because ever since I was a little child, I've always wanted to have one. And this is a picture of Jesus with the child. The child is kind of like me. And like, this is Jesus holding me. I love it.
The gift boxes are a huge part of the ministry, but that's just the beginning. These kids have the chance to go through the greatest journey, which is a 12-lesson discipleship program.
As a result of that, many children knowing God and they're inviting their friends to the church. So that's why this is actually bringing a huge impact in Mongolia.
My name is Jargoma, and I'm 14 years old. Before I received a shoebox gift, I had heard about Jesus, but didn't really believe. But when I received a box that day, I learned that Jesus is the God who is above us. Then I started to go to church. One day at Sunday school, our teachers told us we would be starting a new set of 12 lessons called The Greatest Journey. I really enjoyed attending these classes and learning more about Jesus in different ways. And on the day of my graduation from the program, I felt so excited when I received a certificate and a Bible. The most beautiful part was seeing the confetti and streamers. That was wonderful. Now it's great to be able to go to school, knowing that I will always have the Word of God with me.
Right now, we're in the mountains of Mongolia, at the end of the world. And yet, Operation Christmas Child is here making an impact, where very few people come, where very few projects are able to affect families' lives and make a difference.
My name is Baljin Yam, and I live outside Bayan Hunger. Every day, I herd our sheep and goats, and in the evening, I help by milking the goats and the yaks. Last fall, people were gathering and giving out gifts. And that day, I was given one too. It had many nice things, like toys and small cars, but my favorite was a toy horse. I've never received a gift like that before. That day, they taught us a story about shepherds. I learned that God is a shepherd, the great shepherd. And since I'm almost a shepherd too, that meant a lot to me. With the gift, I received a booklet called The Greatest Gift of All. I would take it with me to read while I was herding my animals. After that, I also started to read the Bible and to pray.
Every day I read the Bible with him, and I give him instructions from the Word of God. My son does his very best to follow that in his life, all the time.
Sometimes I'm afraid of falling off my horse, but God protects me. My faith in God has been strengthened. Now I know that God is great.
I'm very excited to be part of Operation Christmas Child in Mongolia because it brings joy in children's lives. It brings joy in families. It brings joy in churches.
I bet the person who put that little plastic horse in that shoebox never dreamed of how they were going to reach out across the world. Those little soft toys, you know, they're so small, they're not expensive, but look at the value that the Spirit puts upon these little gifts, makes them powerful tools in the hands of the Spirit to reach out right across the world. To Mongolia, to the mountains of Mongolia, not many people go there, but the Spirit of the Lord does through the gifts that you people provide. And we're all part of God's family, and God's family reaches out across the world, and this is the part that we can play. It may seem small, but it's mighty in the hands of the Spirit. I think is it this Thursday the ladies are doing the boxes? This Thursday, the ladies' group are packing the boxes. That's Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Any of you ladies who want to pitch in and help, you can play your part if you haven't normally been to that meeting. Now's your chance. Look what you're doing. Look how you're reaching out across the world. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. That's this coming Thursday. Shall we just say a little prayer together? Gracious Lord, we thank you that your Spirit reaches out across the world. And we thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit you reach out to each of us and you open doors for us where we can play a small part, a part that seems small, but in the hands of your mighty Spirit, these things are amazing and wonderful, Lord. You move in a mysterious way your wonders to perform. And we pray once again, Lord, that through these gifts, through these shoeboxes, you will perform your mighty miracles. And you will reach out and touch the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Time for Sunday school for the children. Thank you. During this past week, it was Halloween. Did you get many people at your door? We didn't get many. We got six. Six. We used to get over 100 at one time. So I don't know whether they think, it's them Masons, don't go there. Or there are just less of the kids around. Don't know. But anyway, Halloween, the real purpose of that day is it's All Souls Day. It's all in the historical church calendar. Halloween is called All Souls Day. And the next day, November the 1st, is called All Saints Day. All Saints Day. And today, being the closest Sunday, is All Saints Sunday. And I tell you this for a purpose, because on All Saints Sunday, we think of and we are thankful for the saints who have touched our lives. And you might say, well, I don't know any saints. But of course, a saint is a holy person. And you are surrounded by saints. You are surrounded by them. There's one sitting right next to you right now on either side of you. Surrounded by saints. And when we sing this next hymn, which is Faith of Our Fathers, I want you to think and let your mind wander over the wonderful people who have touched your lives, who have drawn your life towards Christ and helped you to discover the joy of Christ in your life. And that's what we're doing when we sing this hymn. We stand and we sing to God's glory. The hymn 279, Faith of Our Fathers. So we come to our time of prayer. When we talked about the shoeboxes, we talked about how God can take something small like a plastic horse or a little stuffed bear, and how he can take that little thing and with it he can perform mighty miracles. And think of your prayers in the same way. Sometimes we wonder, will God hear my prayer? My simple prayer, which is not even phrased very well. Yes, he will. God will hear your little prayers, and he will take your little prayers, and with them he will perform mighty miracles. He will reach out and he will touch the world. So your prayers are very, very important, very, very important. And so when we come to that time of our prayer, when we think about people who are close to our lives, who we know need our prayers, who we know who need God's healing touch in their lives or help and strength. Your prayer is very, very important. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks today, O Lord, for your holy word that comes to us in so many different ways. We have already heard your voice, and we have seen your love in the faces and the contacts that we have right here in this holy place with our church family in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we hear you speaking to us through the Holy Scriptures. And today, as we read of your acceptance and approval of that lawyer who learned that loving you and loving his neighbor were the greatest commandments, we pray, Father, that we too may hear your voice and that we may hear the message. Your word, Father, in the Bible encourages us and gives us hope for ourselves and the knowledge that if we strive to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength, we will indeed love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Father, we pray for those who are caught up in the letter of the law rather than in the spirit of love. For those, Lord, who seek advantage and gain for themselves physically and even spiritually rather than opening their hearts to you and to their brothers and sisters. We pray, Lord, that you will draw them close to you and keep us, Lord, from like activities or from any unjust criticism of our fellow friends in Christ. Lord, as we worship this day, draw us closer to you and to your kingdom. And indeed, Lord, we pray that you will cause your kingdom to bubble up within us as springs of living water, that others may come to drink of your life-giving flow. We remember today, O God, the special needs within our communities, those joys and those concerns upon our hearts, the joys of celebration, the concerns of illness and loneliness and want and need. And we remember before you now, Father, in silence and here in the beauty of holiness, as we present our silent prayers and petitions before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. Holy Father, we give thanks and pray for your church throughout the world, here in Cremona, way over there in Mongolia, in all areas of the world. And we think especially, Lord, of all of your saints who have gone before and who laid down for us a wonderful and great heritage in our Saviour Christ. We give thanks, Lord, for those who have been an influence in our own personal Christian heritage, those who have inspired us to love you and to love our neighbors. And we pray, Holy Father, that we too may be aware of the responsibility, the great responsibility that you give to us to play our part in inspiring others by the example that we are able to set in Christian living and personal dedication to you. You are our Lord and our God. Help us to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And help us, Lord God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We pray in the name of him who died, that we might live. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading this morning is from Mark 12, verses 28 to 34, the greatest commandment. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
The epistle is from Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 14, the blood of Christ. But when Christ came in as high priest of the good things that are not now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not part of his creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered by the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God.
Thanks to Joy and Ray for those readings from the scriptures. And that second reading that Ray read to us was about the power of the blood of Christ. And so we're going to sing now of that same great power. We stand and sing to God's glory, hymn 191, "There is power in the blood."
Power in the blood of the Lamb. whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Stains, stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
We shouldn't be singing a hymn like that before I have to preach. Let me just reiterate next Sunday morning. Next Sunday, of course, is Remembrance Day. It's November the 11th. And at 10:30, there will be our Remembrance Day service at the Hall, where the community gathers to pay tribute to all who have served our country. So next Sunday, being a Sunday, on Remembrance Day being a Sunday, our worship service is here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, you can either put your clock back again, or you can set it a bit sooner to get up so that we're all here to worship God at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we're able to go from here down to the community hall for the Remembrance Day service. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A few years ago, there was a radio station that ran a contest. You know, they're always running contests of some kind or other. And for this particular one, they invited their listeners to tune in their clock radio alarms to their station, which happened to be called FM 106. And as soon as they wake up, they are to phone the radio station and tell the radio station the first words that they spoke as they rolled out of bed. The first words they spoke as they rolled out of bed. If they were the third caller, they would be given $106. So it didn't take long for this contest to get rolling. And there were quite a few calls that you might expect first thing in the morning. For example, do I smell coffee burning? Or, oh no, I'm late for work, slept in. Or we had one that said, honey, did I let the dog out last night? No, you didn't. One morning, however, the third caller said something very unusual. The station phone rang. Good morning, this is FM 106. You are our third caller and on the air. What did you say when you rolled out of bed this morning? And the voice said, you want to know the first words as I got out of bed? Yes, sir, tell us what you said. And the man said, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And there was a moment of embarrassed silence. Then the radio guy said, sorry, I think you've got the wrong number. And he cut to a commercial break. He didn't know what to say. Didn't know how to handle it. What were your first words this morning? Try to remember, what did you say first thing as you rolled out of bed. Because the chances are that those words that you spoke first thing set the tone and shaped the rest of your day. For the pious Jew, the first words of each morning are always the same. And they were the words that were spoken by that man on that radio station on FM 106. They were first spoken by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. And after Moses had spoken these words, he commanded the people, "You shall teach these words diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, when you lie down and when you rise up." When you lie down, when you go to bed, and when you rise up, when you get up in the morning. Your last words at night, your first words in the morning. And so two times every day, a good, pious Jew will repeat these words, which are called the Shema. He will repeat, or she will repeat, the Shema. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. A lawyer, a teacher of the law, came to Jesus. A lawyer. Now you will probably be anticipating a lawyer joke at this point in time. But I'm not going to do that. Because the problem with lawyer jokes is that lawyers don't find them amusing, and no one else thinks that they are jokes. So I'm not going to do that. So this lawyer came to Jesus and he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And this lawyer did not mean which of the Ten Commandments is the most important. He meant which of the 613 commandments was the most important. At the hands of the Jewish priests and the Jewish leaders, God's original Ten Commandments had grown out of all proportion. And so they now numbered 613 commandments. There were 365 thou shalt nots, and there were 248 thou shalts. And you've got to obey them all every day, okay? So Jesus answered the lawyer by quoting the Shema, which the lawyer would be thoroughly familiar with. He would say it every morning, he would say it every evening. So this lawyer had asked Jesus a question. And that is good. Questions are good. It's the way you expand your knowledge. And when you think about it, doesn't it seem that when you read the Gospels that Jesus seemed to be asked an awful lot of questions? Seemed to have a lot of questions fired at him? Well, to save you counting them, within the four Gospels, Jesus was asked 183 questions. 183 questions. And he only ever gave a direct answer to three of them. He only answered three of those questions directly. And these three questions that he answered with a direct answer are in this chapter, this 12th chapter of Mark, that our scripture reading came from today. The first one that he gave a direct answer to was about paying taxes, where they asked, "Is it right?" The second was about that silly scenario concocted by the Sadducees, where they said a certain man had seven brothers and his wife died. And their scripture said that one of the brothers should marry this lady. And so the next one died. So the next brother married the lady. And the next, and so on, right through them all. And so their question was, when it comes to the resurrection, and this is important because these guys didn't believe in the resurrection, the Sadducees, they said, when it comes to the resurrection, which one of these brothers will have her as the wife? Because she's been married to all of them. And Jesus answered that. And it's in Mark 12 if you want to look up the answer. I haven't got time right now. And then this one here, This one here was the third question that Jesus did answer. Which is the most important of the commandments? Now, if Jesus only directly answered three of the 183 questions fired at him, how did he handle the other 180 questions? What did he do with them? Well, in each of those instances, Jesus gave a response which led the questioner to having to ask another question. And in this way, the conversation continued. Jesus was able to carry on the conversation with this individual who was asking the question. He may have told them a parable, so the next question might be, what does it mean? He may have quoted a similar instance, and the next question might be, well, what happened next? And he may have said, I will ask you a question if you are able to answer my question. And he answered them a question. So you've got the situation that when a direct and a satisfactory answer is given to a question, the conversation ends. But Jesus answered the lawyer's question with, in the lawyer's words, a good answer. And the final verse of that scripture reading that we had from the gospel today was, and so from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Because that, at that particular time, was how Jesus wanted it to be. He wanted that conversation at that particular time to end there. So how did Jesus answer the lawyer's question? First, he quoted the Shema. The first words out of every pious Jew's mouth every morning and last thing at night. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And I don't know whether you noticed or not, but Jesus added a little bit to that which was written in Deuteronomy. Jesus added, and with all your mind. With all your mind. Those little boxes that you see on pious Jews' heads, you know what they are? They're called phylacteries. Phylacteries. And within that little box is the Shema. Another reminder of the Shema that they say every morning and every evening. And on the doorposts of Jewish homes, you often see a little thing called a mezuzah. And when visitors come to that house, if they are Jewish, they often touch it as they go in. And inside, you know what's inside that little thing, don't you? The Shema. It's in there. Jewish, pious Jewish people have constant reminders of that which they call the Shema. Hear the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And this prayer, the Shema, is of course a summary of the first four of the Ten Commandments. All to do with loving God, with respect of God. This is the first commandment, Jesus says. Love God. But Jesus didn't stop there. He went on and he said, and the second great commandment is this. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you've probably worked out what Jesus has done here. Whereas the Shema is a summary of commandments 1 through 4, when Jesus says love your neighbor, he's giving them a neat summary of the rest of the commandments, 5 through 10. The Jewish religious leaders had taken God's Ten Commandments and they multiplied them all the way up to 613 rules and regulations. So many of them that nobody knew them. The people didn't understand them. So they had to have interpreters of the law. And this person would interpret a given situation for you according to these 613 commandments. But of course, there was a little consideration involved. They were paid. The laws were too complicated. God was too complicated. The people didn't understand the law, and they didn't understand God, and they were miles apart from God. But thankfully, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus teaches that God is not complicated at all, as some would make him to be. It's really quite simple. Number one, God is love. Your life can be everything that God wants for you to have if you just follow two commandments. Love God and love people. The Beatles had it right. All you need is love. Da, 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 da. Stop that singing. St. Teresa said, Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ works with compassion on the whole world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses the whole world. Wow. What a responsibility we have. And it is a responsibility that one particular man carried out without even realizing it. I guess because he loved God. Preacher and teacher Tony Campolo tells about a church deacon he knows who is the subject of this example of Christ at work through ordinary people. People just like you and I. This man wanted some place where he could share Christ's love. And as the youth of his church led a little worship service once a month at a local nursing home, he asked if he could go with them. And he did. And he stood at the back of the room. The young people were leading the worship. And an old man in a wheelchair rolled his chair over to where this deacon stood. And he took hold of the deacon's hand. And this was repeated next month, and the following month, and the following month. And throughout the whole time of that little worship service, this elderly gentleman held onto the deacon's hand. They went one Sunday afternoon, and the wheelchair man wasn't there. And the deacon asked the nurse in charge, "What happened to the man? Where is he?" "Oh," she said, "he's close to death. He's in a room just down the hall, third room on the right. Maybe you could pop in and visit him, but he is unconscious." And so the deacon walked down and he went into the room, and it was a typical nursing home room, a little sparse. There was a chair and there was a bed, and a frail elderly man lay there with his eyes closed, obviously near to death. And he took hold of the man's hand. And he felt moved to say a little prayer. And when he said amen, the old gentleman unexpectedly squeezed his hand in recognition. And the deacon was so moved by that squeeze of the man's hand, who was quite near to death, that he began to weep. And he shook a little and he felt uncomfortable and he wanted to get out of the room. And he bumped into a lady who was coming into the room. And she said, "He's been waiting for you. He said he didn't want to die until Jesus came and held his hand." And she says, "I tried to tell him that after death he would have the chance to meet Jesus and to talk to Jesus and to walk with Jesus and to hold his hand. But he said no. Once a month Jesus comes and holds my hand. And I don't want to leave until I have the chance to hold the hand of Jesus one more time." I'm sure that deacon had no idea of the effect of simply holding the hand of that old man once a month, what kind of effect it was having on this gentleman. I'm sure he had no idea of how the mighty, powerful Spirit of God was upon him and was using him and working through him, and that he was the presence of Christ to that old gentleman. Every time we perform an act of love, no matter how simple, no matter how small it might seem, we are lifting up and we are glorifying Christ, our Saviour. How many times have you thought, wouldn't it be great to win $1 million? You don't have to put your hand up. But how many times have you thought that? Well, maybe it wouldn't be so great, because not everyone has the same idea of a great time. One person's wish might be another person's nightmare. Three men were out sailing in the Pacific Ocean, and their vessel was wrecked. And of course, they finished up on a beautiful desert island. They would, wouldn't they? They had plenty of food, but their existence was in every way totally different to what it had been prior to their shipwreck. And they were walking along the shore, and they happened to find an old lamp. And guess what was inside this lamp? A genie. Since you have been good enough to release me, I will grant each of you a wish. And the first man said, "That's marvellous. I'm a farmer from Alberta, and I wish I was back on my farm." And poof, he was gone. Second man was a city worker from Calgary, and he wished to be back in his downtown office. And poof, he was gone. The third fellow was somewhat more laid back and relaxed than these two, and he actually quite enjoyed his life on the island. And he said to the genie, "Well, I'm quite happy here, and I just wish that my two friends were back here with me." Poof, poof. Everybody's ideas of what is great are different. Today there are many people sitting around and they're thinking, "Wow, wouldn't it be great if I won the lottery? If I had my dream house? If I was famous?" As Christians, what if, instead of wishing for all these type of things, we could just as earnestly wish with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our minds, and with all of our strength, that we could love the Lord our God and love our neighbour as ourselves. Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, first we're going to sing the hymn number 68, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy," and I think we're singing it to the tune Beecher. Is that right, Peg? Are we singing it to Beecher? Yep, sing it to the tune Beecher, and if you want to follow the tune, it's number 92 in your hymn book. We stand and we sing to God's glory.
Almighty Father,
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
I'm going to have to try to remind you.